This is the Cross Conference 2011 Women's World Cup daily recap for June 30th. In a day of shocking scorelines, a flawless France hit Canada with four unanswered goals to secure their place in the quarterfinals. If the first game was beautiful for France, the second was ugly for everyone. A physical Nigeria held Germany scoreless for 50 minutes until Simone Lauder finally broke the deadlock to score the host country's only goal. Today I was joined by past podcast guest Alex Mendenhall from Swirl Radio. Hi, this is Joan. We are back with the very fourth Women's World Cup daily update for the Cross Conference cast. My guest today is Alex Mendenhall from Swirl Radio Sports Update and Sports Extra Time of Tumblr fame. She's a great, very humorous Tumblr. Short shorts, long socks. Or is it long socks,
Short shorts, tall socks.
There we go. And of the recently magnificent Feck Yes, Alex B. Krieger. She's also on Twitter as AG Mendenhall. Ag, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me. I miss you.
Yeah, I know. It's been so long. I feel
it really
like
has.
We've like grown apart, but no, we've grown as people and now we're coming back together.
Yes. High five. Our hearts are still one, I think.
Yeah, hugs.
Hug.
So today, some very shocking results. Canada playing France in the first game this morning. Morning for us, for the real people.
Yes.
And I guess evening for the people in Germany who get to see these games. France being nearly flawless in a 4-0 victory over Canada, and Canada being, I don't know what that was. I haven't seen that Canada since their 6-0, you know, a drubbing that they received against the United States in like 2008, maybe.
Yeah.
You saw the highlights.
I saw the highlights, self-created highlights of me fast-forwarding through my DVR. It wasn't pretty. I mean, it was pretty if you're a fan of France, which really, how can you not be after that sort of performance? And obviously WPS fans love Abelie and Bon Pastor, even though she did knock Christine Sinclair in the face. But, you know, it happens. Yeah, I don't know. It was just, it was sad almost. I think we all really were sort of rooting for Canada as our little CONCACAF sisters, you know, who aren't Mexico, I guess.
Well, I think everyone expected them to advance out of the group. No one expected them to give up, you know, more than two goals in a game. I would say, like, the first 8 minutes was very back and forth. I thought, okay, so this is going to be a really competitive game. Capable defending on both ends, but Canada's first touch was awful. Every single one of them, god awful. And it just kind of really put a magnifying glass to like the other fact that they don't have any other finishers besides Christine Sinclair, and Christine Sinclair not being 100% because she has this broken nose and she's wearing this face mask, which limits your vision.
Totally. She probably had no peripheral vision. And I mean, when you're a striker, you kind of need to know where the ball is coming from. And, you know, it just, but she looked great in it. Let's get real.
Yeah. Yeah. She looked really superhero like even.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
To quote Hackers. yeah. Look it up, kids. Early 1990s. But the first Canadian shot wasn't until 40 minutes into the game. And that should have just sent the warning bells off for Carolina Maracci.
Yeah.
There should have been some fundamental change in tactics or something to get everything going. I feel really bad because I feel that Sophie Schmidt was really the one player worth keeping, except for her tiny little lapse, which led to the first goal. She was working so hard. It's sad that that Canada needed her as much as they did in the defensive midfield spot because she had way too much to do. She had to work way too hard. And she's actually a really great goal scorer, and which they could have used. But, you know, she's stuck being really busy in the defensive midfield spot. I thought you know, I was worried that Canada would respond with really physical play as they got mm-hmm. more desperate. But, you know, they didn't even do that.
It's because they're Canadian. They're too nice.
No, so, well, maybe it's because they don't have the Carlang on anymore. And,
right.
Yeah, but the second half, they did not come out with the determination they needed. I was really confused about why a lot of those players were there. I mean, France did everything right. They, like, just draped four blue jerseys anytime Sinclair got anywhere near the ball. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really care about anybody else because they didn't have to.
Exactly. They knew. They knew.
Yeah. And, yeah, that second, I thought the first goal, okay, they can come back. The second, I was like, ish just got real. You know, it was a beautiful goal.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe goal of the tournament so far, you think? Other than, well, Christian Sinclair's free kick, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's still... I think that's going to be epic for a long time. Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly... Oh, my God, what is her name? This is embarrassing. The girl that scored the two goals.
Tiny? I think it's like, it's C-H-I, Tine. I was like, it's like tiny, but it's not pronounced tiny. It's Tine.
That's Tine.
Right. Tine. Mm-hmm.
We can call her Tiny if we want to.
Yeah.
Tine, yes. I mean, yeah, I think a comment that Tony DiCicco made, as much as I like to sort of make fun of Tony DiCicco, you know, he sort of said, you know, like, welcome to this tournament, you know, we didn't know who the hell you were. And you know, congratulations to her, really. Great performance.
Yeah. Amazing. France was just beautiful to watch. And, you know, coming from that, you know, Nigeria game they had, it was very surprising. Yeah, heartbreak. Who would have thought that Canada would not advance?
Right?
Out of the group stages.
Like, it's just, I'm a little dumbfounded, but, you know, I guess you, obviously you can never discount the dark horse. And I think Nigeria, the dark horse being France here. And then I think, you know, Nigeria has put on, a solid show, so far, you know, holding Germany to one goal, I think is impressive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, I mean, they dictated the pace of the game, I think Nigeria did, because the ref let them.
Yes.
But,
yes.
But not with rhythm. It was like disrhythm. It was a lack of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
I think after the Canada-France game, I think those people who were kind of rooting for Canada were kind of hoping that, you know, Nigeria and the immense power of heterosexuality would
yes.
help sort of propel our hero, Christine Sinclair, and the Canadians out of the group. Like, if somehow Nigeria could just,
if,
you know.
If those straight girls could just pull out the win.
Mm-hmm. But it was not to be.
No.
Because
oh, no.
Simone Lauder, who I felt mildly overrated until she scored. And then she was like, fine.
Yeah, and then she was good. Fantastic.
And then she was great. No.
What? Like, but was she wearing a bra?
Oh, I don't know. What, is that a thing? What
it is not- oh well, it's not her thing. I'm sure Lauder wears a bra because she seems like the type, but the all over the Twitters, everyone is just so offended that I believe it was Gara Frekes, who either her sports bra is just really ill-fitting or girl thinks that she can just run around like the day she was born.
She doesn't need one.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
to put it gently,
to be fair, she probably doesn't in her day to day life. But ma'am, when you are running around on the pitch scoring goals, can you just strap it down? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that was an ugly game, though. Germany must be very pleased to at least have that behind them.
Yes.
I think there were some early chances for Germany because Nigeria was a little bit sloppy in defending, but then they kind of tightened it up a little bit. And I just felt Germany was not as vicious as they used to be. They, this does not look like a ruthless Germany side. And there was just very timid officiating. The ref was just like a toothless tiger.
Yeah.
And I was like, just like praying, like, please, God, don't ever let this referee, you know, officiate a U.S. match, please.
Oh.
Please, God, love to Jesus, amen.
Like Abby Wambach would practically have a coronary, I think.
Yeah. I think Nigeria had a lot of poor touches, but unlike France, Germany just did not take advantage of them, and Nigeria was plenty fast enough to recover.
Right.
Everybody's been saying that the center backs are Germany's weak spot, and I think they're totally right, because, I mean, Nigeria does not have an amazing attack, but they were attacking through the center and were mm-hmm. able to find, like, they were able to find the weak spots. Yeah, I don't know. Birgit Prinz, how do you feel?
Oh, Birgit. I mean, all I can think of, honestly, when I think of Birgit Prinz is the temper tantrums that she threw when the U.S. beat Germany, what was that, 4-0 in Columbus. And I guess that's unfair of me to really say that and sort of categorize her based on that alone. Because, I mean, she really is amazing, obviously, you know, sort of everybody's saying, you know, sort of passing of the crown, I guess, to Alexandra Popp. And I don't know. I just feel like I hear Birgit Prinz and I just see like a girl practically like having a hissy fit, like a tantrum on a soccer field. And someone should make that cartoon.
Well, Stephanie Lopez Cox does the card motion, which yes. when I first saw it, when yes. she did that at Portland, and I thought she was making a jerking off motion. and I was like, Stephanie Lopez, what is that? I'm like, oh, she's making a card motion. Give her a card.
Not give her a happy ending.
Yeah. But that was a physical, gross game. And possibly Behringer is maybe out for the rest of the tournament. I know she's getting an MRI done on her ankle. She went out pretty early, I feel, in the first half. What does this do for Germany's mindset? I mean, they've been held to fewer than two goals or less over the past two games. Over opponents they should just be wiping the floor with, and they're the host country.
You know, I wonder if being the host country is part of what's happening here. Everybody was saying, oh, this is going to be great for them, home field advantage, the fans will be behind them. And yes, I do think that's a valid point. However, there's the flip side, which is you're at home, all the fans are behind you, and you have this pressure to succeed. Everybody's saying, you know, oh, you're going to win this tournament, and you're maybe not ranked number one in the world officially, but you're probably the best in the world. And, you know, I just wonder if that is taking its toll psychologically on the German team, or if, you know, maybe they just kind of feel like, no, we don't need to be blowing these teams out of the water. We're going to get out of group no matter what, and then we're really going to focus on the task at hand then. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not German, nor am I a psychiatrist or a German psychiatrist.
Yeah. Oh, if you were, though.
Oh, if I was. Great.
I would really have you on every single show, I think. But because you're not, you only get to be on this second one.
I think that's fair.
It's okay. We're still friends.
Good.
Hug. Let's see. Yeah, and it doesn't help Germany that their leader is a big Debbie Downer when she gets subbed out because she's not playing well.
Right.
She just goes sulk on the bench, which, you know, I haven't seen frowns like that on the bench since Hope Solo in 2007. She had a real reason to be bummed out.
Like, yes, she did.
Yeah. But I feel like in terms of this group, the momentum is so in France's favor. Even if they lose against Germany, if they can keep the loss to two goals or less, I think they'll still have more positives than the host nation.
Well, and I mean, can you just imagine being in those two separate camps? You know, I know that the Germans, this is, I'm totally stereotyping right now. Just get ready for it, everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I feel like the Germans, I read somebody's tweet today, like, oh, you know, Germany pulled out the win, but there was nobody on the team smiling when the final whistle blew. Like, you know, they were clearly all very grumpy about the fact that they...
They don't smile when they win, but, yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, like... Well, do you want to be on that team, like the grumpy sourpuss German team, or do you want to be on this French team that, you know, they're having great success and they probably drink champagne and eat escargot and, you know, do the can-can or something? I don't know. You know, like, I think... Is anyone else imagining Sonia Bonpastor doing the can-can right now? Because I am.
They're probably reenacting scenes from Moulin Rouge.
Yes, exactly. Oh, with what's-her-face, Louisa Nassib, everyone's amour this tournament, I guess. Which, by the way, not a fan. But anyway. Mm-hmm.
Now, pressure feels the idea of pressure has
it
been
makes,
you know,
us
the, yeah, because it makes us,
don't forget,
or it breaks us, or it takes us. I don't know. It's really the theme of the World Cup. You know, Germany feels pressure because they're the host nation. They're defending their title. U.S. feels pressure because they haven't won since 1999.
Right.
And there was, you know, we've talked before on the show about, you know, Canada feeling pressure because, you know, they have this new coach and they've improved so much. Mm. And I feel like France has never advanced out of the group before. So they don't have anything, any
exactly.
pressure. And they have
exactly.
all this momentum. Like, I'm just so, you know, I'm amazed by that one performance and thinking they can ride this pretty far.
Yeah.
The German fans must, you know, be feeling a little, well, I don't know exactly how the German fans feel, because I feel like if the U.S. were to pull out, you know, those kinds of wins, we'd feel like somewhat positive. We'd be like, yeah, it's okay. It's just like a mild slump. We got through it. We're really going to take it in these
exactly.
next games. But I don't know if you're a German fan, if you feel the same way, or if you feel as skeptical as the non-German fans do. We should get some German fans. Do you know any?
I don't know. I don't.
Oh.
Huh.
I don't either. It's okay. I feel like my life's... Well, I know some German supporters. One German supporter. But she's away and she's never on Skype. So.
Well, that makes it hard.
Poo. On
fiddle.
That. Yeah. So let's take a look, you know... Over the past week of games, how are you feeling about the first round?
I have been having so much fun watching these games. I think, you know, everybody from Julie Foudy to the fantastic Jenna Pell have all said, you know, nothing has really gone as expected. Yes, the teams that we thought would win have been winning, maybe save for Canada. But the performances from these other teams have been pretty outstanding, probably except for North Korea. You know, I think North Korea probably played just about as well or not as well as we thought they would. But I think Nigeria has been strong. Equatorial Guinea was sort of just a joy to watch, I think, partly because of their one fan in the stands. And, you know, just the fact that they didn't get murdered. They did not lose for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's been a really great tournament thus far. I think it's only going to get better. I think teams are going to start to get more comfortable and sort of settle down, and maybe we'll start to see some higher scoring games, like, you know, we saw a little bit today. And I don't know, I'm just excited for the rest of the tournament, and, you know, the fact that I actually get to watch some games live this coming week. I'll get to watch USA Colombia and USA Sweden and all the ones in between, and Yeah, I don't know. I think it's been good, and I love it. Like I feel like it's Christmas time. Let's all hug and sing songs.
Christmas in June and July.
And July, yes.
Yes.
Hope Solo under my Christmas tree.
Hope Solo.
That's terrifying.
That would be. Can you imagine her just sitting, like, she's kind of like sitting cross-legged?
Like, I think I would cry if I like woke up to that on Christmas morning.
And then you would run and then like hide around the corner.
Yeah, and like
poke your head out
and be like, "Is she still there?"
And she's just sitting there.
Yeah. Be like, oh
gosh,
are you bringing me a new bike?
Now, you're a U.S. fan.
I am. Admittedly.
The roster change rumor now is that Lori Lindsay will be starting in place of Shannon Box.
Yes. Even though she should be starting in place of Carly Lloyd. Mm. I mean, that's just... Yeah. That's
and just and Lauren Cheney's going to keep her starting spot over everyone's favorite, Megan Rapinoe.
Everyone's favorite, Megan, I am super blonde, Rapinoe.
Yeah, it hurts. I know. I actually did not say her name in the last episode, so it was really strong. I'm learning to be stronger, Ag.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, really, all I want to do right now is talk about Allie Krieger and Kelly O'Hara. And what has Kelly O'Hara done this tournament? She has given Rachel Buehler a hug, gee damn it.
It's a lot. It's a little, but it's a lot.
It's so much. She's mm-hmm. so giving.
Does U.S. soccer think that maybe we don't notice that she hasn't had her player introduction video? Have you noticed that?
You know, I think they, maybe they're saving the best for last.
It's making me upset. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've had some trauma this past week. My hairdresser's leaving.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. She's so moving. Upsetting. It was really hard. She said we could be friends. No, I don't want to be friends. I want to pay you a lot of money to touch my head and pretend to like me for 45 minutes.
Oh, and I don't know what I would
that's
do.
That's my need. Those are my needs.
Your needs are a good haircut and Kelly O'Hara's player profile.
Yeah. Well, Megan Rapinoe too. Just,
you know, maybe... I really do think that maybe what they're going to have happen here is that Pino is going to do a nice little acoustic set for everyone. And that will be her player profile.
That might make me uncomfortable. I'd just rather like really awkward jokes. And then you have a twin sister, don't you? Yep. And then cut.
And then done.
Done. but you know, it needs to be there. Let's not forget like our backup goalkeepers too. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Where's rest of the team? Come on.
I want to see what's up with Jillian Lloyden's shaved half of her head.
Yeah, the sides of the head thing. Confusing.
Why is that like that is the theme of this World Cup, I've decided.
Confusing hair?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not so bad, but no, it's, I mean, it's not as bad as the WPS as a whole.
That is true.
I mean, it's more interesting than it has been in the past, so.
I mean, it's more than just your Mia Hamm in a ponytail, that's for sure.
More bang for your buck.
It's so much more. I mean, how can you not be watching?
It's riveting. Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining me.
It's always a pleasure.
Yes. Alex is AG Mendenhall on Twitter. She's on Swirl Radio. She's on the Tumblrs. We're going to put all the links in the show notes. I've missed you, Ag. We need to get together more.
Really? We need to have a cup of tea, I think.
We're like connections on LinkedIn.
I know we are, what is that even like referred to? I don't know.
I think it is connections or
yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Anyway, enjoy the rest of your World Cup.
Thank you. You as well. Go Thanks. USA.
Yes. Hey, this is Joan again. I have a few things to say before we go. First, thanks for listening to the podcast. I really hope you're enjoying it. And if you have any thoughts, I'd love to hear them. My email address is crossconference@gmail.com. Second, if you've rated us on iTunes, thank you for rating us in iTunes. You are better than everyone else. If you haven't rated us, please do. Third, that Nigerian heterosexuality joke is from my friend Beth. I stole that joke, Beth. I'm a terrible person and I'm sorry.